you want me to break down the rest of the cost?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the total that I've mentioned when we started, the total would be worst case about 15%
And that's of the purchase price.
of the purchase price. And that includes that 3 and a bit% for the agent.
Thank you.
That includes your purchase tax, which is a statement that you'll get somewhere between 6 to 12 months after the purchase, which is, it varies depending on the official evaluation, which is always a bit different to market price, but you can assume it'll be somewhere between 1.5 to 2.5% normally. And
Thank
legal
you.
and registration fees would, which would be somewhere between 2 to 5%. Again, they fluctuate depending on the official eval, which we don't know until we get closer to settlement. So all up, worst case, and maybe you have to pay a double commission if it's one of those properties which you really, really like and the agent is greedy. So worst case, we say up to about 15%.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. I think
Hopefully closer,
if
to 10.
worst case scenario is continuing to own real estate in California.
I've been hearing about that.
Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over 2 decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so for today's episode, these are two back-to-back conversations. Haven't had those in a while with first-time buyers. Both audio calls only, unfortunately, so no need to jump over to YouTube for this one if you're tuning in via the podcast. And this first one is with a long-time Japan enthusiast who's just about ready to pull the plug on his first holiday home purchase in or near Tokyo, Kanagawa, Chiba, to be used by himself and his young daughter whenever they're visiting, which from the sound of it is going to be quite often. And he was wondering where exactly should he be buying if his total budget, including purchase costs, is about $100,000. How much are these purchase costs exactly, what they include, and what could he compromise on if he wants to fit within that budget in these locations? We also talk about the best places to find listings, how realtor commissions work in Japan, how our own services work, and when he might want to use us, if at all, how remittances into and out of the country work, and also a breakdown of how in-person and remote viewings work for clients who might be here in person but could potentially be away when the right listing turns up. So real nice and thorough review of the purchase process, which is probably going to be quite a handy reference for many of you. Enjoy the conversation, and we'll be right back with another call right after this. Awesome. So what do you mean long time coming? You were waiting to purchase for a long time?
I have been in and out of Japan over the last, gosh, decade. And I was in Tokyo last year for spring break with my daughter.
Okay.
And when we came back to LAX, she just kind of goes, you know, why did we come back? I was like,
how old is she?
He's 11 years old.
Oh, wow. That's early to fall in love with the country. That's nice.
Yes. Well, more so the egg salad sandos.
Fantastic.
Oh
Okay,
no.
so you found Ami on Instagram, that we helped buy a house in Chiba, and you okay, so you're looking for a holiday home, right?
So I've narrowed it down because there are so many options that kind of the more I look at, the more I want.
Right.
So by narrowing it down, I initially thought that I wanted to be on the east side, somewhere in Chiba, almost as far south as Kisarazu.
Okay.
Again, I'm new at this. So, in my price range, from what I've observed, if I go to the east side of Tokyo Bay in the Yokohama area, I can get a smaller home just as nice, maybe no garage, no backyard, but it's also close to everything.
That is correct. Because the first question I was going to ask is, are you sure you want to live in rural Chiba Prefecture? It gets pretty rural out there.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't mind sacrificing square footage. I don't mind sacrificing a garage, as long as it's within the same price point. I really love the idea of Yokohama, and my daughter and I have kind of gone through what's in the area in certain neighborhoods. And I got her approval, so I'm leaning more towards Yokohama.
Okay. When you say price point, what price point are we talking about?
Between $75,000 and $100,000.
Okay. So in Japanese yen terms at the moment, that would be a max of about 16 million yen. Is that including purchase cost or just the listing price itself?
So that's again, thank you for taking my call. I know we're a world apart, and I'm very grateful for your time. Could you maybe explain to me the breakdown?
Sure. So purchase costs are usually at around this price level. Purchase costs would be worst case about 15%, hopefully less than that. And
Okay.
sorry, I'm working from home. There's some cats talking here in the background. Sorry about that. So
Okay, it might take
if we
about an
take that
hour or so.
as if we take that as including purchase costs, that gives you, hang on, what am I doing? 16 million yen, take off 15%. No, I'm doing something wrong. Hang on, I take. Well, let's go with 100,000. That's easier. So 100,000 US. Take off 15%. And so that's including costs, that gives us about 87 million yen. Sorry, 87,000 US, which means about 14 million yen. So should be doable, but my issue is that if we're going for Yokohama, there's one of two things we'll have to compromise on. Either the age of the property, which I would prefer not to compromise on, because that puts you in a high likelihood of having major structural issues. They're not really built to last in Japan. So anything past 30, 40 years of age would start having some more or less my medium or major structural issues. And the other thing is, for the same reason, the older they get, the more annual maintenance costs that you'd be accruing, right? So you're kind of semi-expense free unless something happens until about 30 years, and then you start putting, I don't know, $1,000, $2,000 into the property every year just in average maintenance and repairs. And then as it hits 40, 45, it's more like $2,000, $3,000 a year. So to avoid that, we'd normally recommend, if you can, to focus on something that's 20 years and younger. That gives you about 10 years of not having to worry too much about structural issues and maintenance. And then you might be okay with it, or you might consider reselling it, buying something younger, whatever the case may be. So one compromise that we'd make would be on the age of the property, which I would rather not, because it would end up costing you in the long run. Or alternatively, distance to central Yokohama. So the more suburbanish we get within Yokohama, the newer the properties will be at that same price range. But then, I mean, it's not as rural as Chiba Prefecture rural, but Yokohama is a huge city. It can get very suburban, right? Like you'll go up and down the hill, and there's rice fields around you and stuff like that. And it might be, I don't know, 10-minute, 15-minute walk to a station, then another 20-minute to Yokohama station. So, which of these do you think you'd be more comfortable compromising on?
My preference would be to be within like 15 to 20 minutes of a station. I would also, I kind of prefer the more suburban. I love the streets,
Okay.
the culture, the people, of course. And how do I say this? In Chiba, I might be able again to get something bigger with space. But then I'm further from what I actually want to be there for.
So you want proximity. So 15, 20 minutes to a station is not the problem. We can probably even get closer than that to a station. The question is from that station to central Tokyo, which I'm assuming is where you want to be close to, how far of a commute would you be okay with?
Anything within an hour of central Tokyo is fine with me.
Okay. That should be doable within that budget. Okay, so the listings that you mentioned, you've noticed a few listings that you might be able to get if you compromise on footage and parking. But how old were those houses? Do you remember?
That I don't know. I could possibly screenshot the listing and email it to the thread that we've created, if that's helpful.
Yeah, just I mean, there'll be some toing and froing, and I'm assuming if we work together, then we'll probably switch over to WhatsApp, where I can respond a lot quicker. But again, I would look at that shortlist that you've made and filter out houses that are, let's say, 25 years and older, and see if you're left with anything. And I'm assuming those houses that you looked at are in a location where you're feeling comfortable with the commute, yeah?
Correct. And within that location, unlike Chiba, where I found, 20 or 30, I've actually only found two. So
Oh, okay.
it's my impression that there's like significantly less available in that
Yeah,
area
well,
because of the proximity.
let's run the age filter on those two just to make sure you're not looking at something that's like 80 years and older, because that would be a bucket of problems you'll be buying.
Okay, thank you for the insight.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think once we loop in a realtor who'll actually be running searches, and they've got access to more, some of the websites that are a bit more challenging to navigate in English, like local realtor websites and the National Real Estate Database and so forth, they'll probably be able to float some more listings your way than what you're finding. Where are you searching, by the way?
I got sent a link to one of the I got IKEA Hub, IKEA Mart is a
Kia
what
Mart,
is
got them
it?
right here.
IKEA Hub, IKEA. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And well,
So
IKEA
I
Mart are
used
probably the more comprehensive database. If you want to, are you do you have a paid subscription on any of those?
No, I do not. It's like
Okay.
I get like a couple for free.
Right. Well, if you get the subscription, the pro subscription on IKEA Mart, I think that's like $15 a month. It's nothing too crucial. You can put in my name as a coupon code, like ZIV as a coupon code when you're checking out, and then it'll be a bit cheaper, or the first month free, or something like because they advertise on our podcast. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it seems to be a good search engine because, again, I'm contacting you from California in the United States. Here we have Zillow, and it's just
I know,
everything's
I know.
available
I
immediately.
wish we had something like that here.
And then I
But
just.
IKEA Mart is the closest thing that I know to Zillow or Redfin or the stuff that you use in the US. They scrape all of the major property websites and they give them to you with, map filters, geographical, dynamic map interface. You can zoom in on a location, see listings pop up. So it's a very handy interface, and they do scrape all of the major property websites. So that's probably where I'd start.
IKEA Mart.
Mart, yeah.
Okay. I'll write that down.
And aside from
Mart.
that, again, once we loop in, once you're getting a bit more ready to pull the trigger, then we'll loop in a realtor who'll help you search as well. So you'll provide some listings, they'll provide some other listings, and that they don't live in your head, obviously. So you'll always be the best filter for what kind of properties are, more to your liking or not. There'll be a bit more hit and miss when somebody else is searching for you. But eventually we'll land on a shortlist that's hopefully going to be bigger than two.
Okay. No, thank you. And then if you could just help me with one thing as far as fees. So I read the information that you sent. So you serve as a proxy.
As a
Is
proxy
that
and as a proxy and or advisor. So the actual proxy service is a logistics kind of service. If I put you in touch with a foreigner-friendly buyer-side agent who's handled remote transactions with non-resident buyers in the past, then they can handle the proxy and the logistics part same as we would have done. So you don't need to pay us extra for that. The other side of what we do is that we provide guidance and due diligence and raise red flags, like the conversation that we just had about the age of the property, how suburban this is, or that. Not most agents will not do that with you. Their job is to get a listing or give you a listing and then manage the purchase so that it's legally under your name as smoothly as possible. But they're not going to have deep strategic conversations with you. They'll just help you buy whatever you point them at. So to help you ask the right questions, run the proper due diligence, review the documents before you sign them, make sure there's not any surprises in there. And you can bring us on as consultants, which is a lot cheaper than having us as a proxy and doing everything on your behalf. And then we'll create that WhatsApp chat group with the agent. And again, we'll be guiding the process, due diligence, help you prioritize the properties, make sure you're not making any costly mistakes.
Thank you. And then again, in the United States, when you sell a house, right? I'm selling my house right now. I pay the real estate agent, and then the real estate agent splits the commission between the buyer's agent and my agent. So there's a proxy fee, and then I would imagine is there a real estate how do I say this? A buyer's agent fee? Like, do I pay a fee to the real estate agent?
So it's a bit different here. The way it works is, so let's put the proxy component we can put aside because that's gonna be inside the realtor's commission anyway. If
Okay.
for any reason the seller doesn't accept the agent as your proxy, then you can pay someone like us separately for that. It's usually gonna be a few hundred bucks. But putting that aside, the way it works is the listing agent, who is the seller's agent, basically, they get contacted by the seller to list the property. They charge the seller. If they find a buyer by themselves, they also get to charge the buyer. And if another agent brings a buyer, then the buyer's agent gets to charge the buyer. So you normally just pay the one fee, which is the buyer agent's fee.
Buyer agents. It's
Yeah,
your service.
in
I'll just, for lack of a better term, and forgive me, you serve as my proxy. Then the second fee would be the buyer's agent, and then the
There's
third.
no,
Okay.
backtrack. There's no second fee. So normal transaction, let's say I'm not involved at all. There's no, I mean, the agent is serving as your proxy. There's nothing you just go directly via an agent. Then you pay your agent. That's it. There's one real estate commission, which is 3% plus 60,000 yen plus tax. Okay.
Okay.
And that gets paid on settlement to your agent.
Okay.
Okay. If you want just a referral to a buyer side foreigner friendly agent, we don't charge for that. I'll just introduce you to one and you can go with them directly on your own.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. I mean, obviously the elephant in the room, I don't speak Japanese and I don't know the area.
No. English speaking vetted buyer agent who's foreigner friendly and has done this before.
Okay, understood. And okay, well, thank
So
you.
assuming that's the way you go and it's a normal deal, you just pay the single commission to your agent. Okay? 3% plus 60,000 yen plus tax.
Okay.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens, and they're just a delight to stay in, fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know they're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
60,000.
Now, still leaving me aside, there are some cases in which the seller's agent or their company has a bit of a greedy policy, whereas they don't want to share their commission with the buyer's side agent. They want to double dip and charge both sides. Okay.
Okay.
If we
So
land, sorry.
no, sorry, there's a delay.
Yeah, we got a bit of a lag there. So if we land on one of those properties and a greedy agency, and you're really keen on that particular property and you really want to buy it, you'll have the option to pay your buyer's agent a separate fee, same amount, and then they'll do it for you. But in that case, you'll have to pay a double commission. One to the seller's agent and one to your agent, because they don't want to share.
Understood.
So I'd
Thank
only
you
keep
for
that I'd only keep that for properties that you're otherwise very, very keen on. Otherwise, if we contact them and they say no, we don't want to share, and it's just one of a bunch of properties, I'd move on to the next one.
Okay, thank you. And I'd imagine those are some of the nuances that you referenced in the beginning of this conversation.
But I mean, again, the buyer side agent that I'll refer you to will know how to handle that. That's still just logistics of the purchase. They'll be very well versed in that. That's not an issue. Okay, so
Okay.
basically, we're purchasing. Normally, we'd be purchasing with you paying a single real estate agent commission of 3% plus 60,000 yen plus tax. In some rare cases, you might be really keen on a property and it might be one of those where you have to pay a double commission, but that would be the exception, not the norm.
Thank you for the clarification. And
Now, if you
then
do want us in consulting on the purchase, meaning making sure everything is done properly, that due diligence is done, raising red flags, letting you know of any expenses that you might not be aware of because you don't know what questions to ask, reviewing the documents to make sure there are no surprises in there, then we can come in as consultants as you work with your agent. And that's
okay.
110,000 yen.
1,000 yen. And then the really, God, where did it go? I have a lot of questions, but I'm trying to consolidate this.
Go for it.
God, what? I lost it.
That's right. Do you want me to break down the rest of the cost?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the total that I've mentioned when we started, the total would be worst case about 15%
And that's of the purchase price.
of the purchase price. And that includes that 3 and a bit% for the agent.
Thank you.
That includes your purchase tax, which is a statement that you'll get somewhere between 6 to 12 months after the purchase, which is, it varies depending on the official evaluation, which is always a bit different to market price, but you can assume it'll be somewhere between 1.5 to 2.5% normally. And
Thank
legal
you.
and registration fees would, which would be somewhere between 2 to 5%. Again, they fluctuate depending on the official eval, which we don't know until we get closer to settlement. So all up, worst case, and maybe you have to pay a double commission if it's one of those properties which you really, really like and the agent is greedy. So worst case, we say up to about 15%.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. I think
Hopefully closer,
at this
to 10.
worst case scenario is continuing to own real estate in California.
I've been hearing about that.
Yeah. These are all incredible numbers. God, what was, oh, I keep losing. I remember it and then I forget. It was super important for me and I apologize. I tried to come a little bit more prepared.
The normal questions we get are how do I transfer funds into and out of Japan? When do I get the title deed? How does escrow work? Was it any of these?
What form of payment do you accept in Japan from a foreign buyer?
So the Japanese side needs to get Japanese yen. Whoever you're paying, your agent, the seller, the lawyer, the tax department, everybody here needs to get Japanese yen, right? So the easiest way to get these funds across is by using a foreign exchange service like Wise or Revolut or OFX, depending on which amount you're paying. Some of them work better for smaller amounts, some of them work better for larger amounts. I would sign up with two or three of them. I'll give you links to the two that we most commonly use. And if you use our referral links, then you'll also get some bonuses on your first transfer or whatever. And then
Okay, thank you.
you would be remitting your dollars to one of these services, and they'll be remitting yen to whoever needs to get it on the other end.
Thank you for the clarification. I found my question.
Yep.
Since all of this is done, obviously from foreign soil, in a perfect world, let's say I find the house, we all work out a deal. I will be, we leave on the 22nd of this month. I'll physically be in Japan on the 23rd. Is it possible to at least see what I'm buying in person, possibly see the house, maybe even the neighborhood, or is that where you're, am I encroaching on your services?
No, definitely not. So, firstly, a seller's agent won't accept an offer without somebody viewing the property. If it's vacant, if it's tenanted, then it's an investment property, it's a different story. But if it's a vacant property like you're talking about, a seller's agent wouldn't accept an offer without somebody having visited and viewed the property. And that can be done in one of two ways. Either you're here and you go there and view them yourself. We'll still have to send somebody with you because the seller and the seller's agent would freak out when the scary foreigner comes up. So we still have to send a Japanese face with you, but then you can view them yourself. Alternatively, we can just send our agent, our buyer side agent, to view the property on your behalf, connect with you via Zoom or take photos or videos, whatever the case may be. If the property is very close to where their office is, they might not charge for it. Otherwise, they'll charge you for the viewing trip separately. So their commission they get paid on settlement, but if you want them to go and do remote viewings of properties for you, then they'll charge you for their time and the trip. Usually, if they do a whole day, let's say 4 or 5 property viewings, it's going to be, if they're in the same vicinity, going to be maybe 200, 300 bucks.
Oh, okay, that's not bad, but very different from here, where here, if you hire like a buyer's agent, for instance, sometimes you look at three or four houses and sometimes you look at 20, and the buyer's agent doesn't get paid until there's a completion of sale, because they're essentially working for free until you get your hands on the deed.
So essentially, that's the way it works here as well. And if we're looking at properties within their neighborhood, let's say, or within 20, 30 minutes commute from their office, it's not an issue. But because bilingual foreigner-friendly agents in Japan are very rare and far between, we can't just go to any Yokohama agent within that neighborhood or directly with a listing agent and say, "Hey, I've got this gaijin who wants to buy this property. Can you?" We can't do that. So we have to work with a handful of suitable agents that can handle you directly as a buyer, and they are usually going to be located within the center of a big city. So central Tokyo, central Osaka, central Fukuoka. So if we're sending a central Tokyo agent out to Yokohama, in your case, suburban Yokohama, for the day with all the expenses and the meals and everything that includes, and we might have three or four rounds of that, because like you said, you might be looking at 10 or 20 properties. The entire commission that they make is like usually depending on the price of the property, but let's say somewhere between 2 to 4,000 bucks. If they run
Right.
100, 150, $200 expenses every time they go out and view properties for you, that's not leaving them with much. So they'll do it for free if it's around their neighborhood, but once we send them to other locations, we have to pay them for their time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Everything looks super easy from Instagram. But everybody, oh yeah, I want to go to Tokyo. It's like, yeah, well, I've kind of started going down the rabbit hole, and I'm very grateful for you taking my call, and it's very helpful for me to hear kind of the boots on the ground, what's going on.
Sure,
And then
that's
if
what we're here for.
you don't mind me asking, where are you located in Japan?
We're in Fukuoka, far west side of Japan. We work all over the country, but that's the best city, hands down, best city I've ever lived in. So we're not going anywhere. We're staying here.
Cool. Yeah, I've seen, of course, only on Instagram, but it is very up and coming. They called it like the new Tokyo, in a sense.
Yeah, startup capital of Japan, new Tokyo, the gateway to Southeast Asia. We got a bunch of names. A lot of them are a bit more marketing oriented, but it's a very comfortable city. Only problem is there's no direct flights from the US. So all of our US customers, even if they want to live here, they have to fly into Tokyo or Osaka and then commute another few hours to get here. So normally our US clients prefer Tokyo or Osaka or the surrounds of.
Okay. Well, no, thank you for that insight as well. And then as far as actually finding a house, I mean, I'm happy to do the due diligence. It would the next step be to, I mean, message you and let you know, hey, this is what I'm interested in. Like, how do we get the ball rolling?
So one of two, first of all, I'll reply. Actually, I'll do it now so I don't forget. I'll reply to your last email with just a blank email signature, which will have my mobile number in it. So first step would be to add me on WhatsApp.
Okay.
And then we'll continue the conversation there. And then we can do it in one of two ways or a combination of both. We can work with the listings that you search. Again, I'd recommend signing up for AkiaMart Pro, using my name as a voucher for a discount, and start searching there for listings. That'll be the easiest way for you to search, I think. And at any point when you're ready to move a little bit further, we'll loop in an agent, or if you don't find anything on AkiaMart, then we'll loop in an agent earlier in the process, and then they can research listings as well. And then if I'm consulting on the purchase, then I'll go through that list. I'll raise red flags. I'll help you prioritize them one over the other. I'll tell you what are things that you might not be thinking about for each of those listings. Then we'll get like a final shortlist. And then we'll start, via the agent, we'll start sending inquiries to the sellers to organize viewings and whatnot.
Okay. And then what is the correct spelling of your first name? ZIV?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. And
You
then
can see it
again.
down here in the Zoom window.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on my cell phone on LTE. In 2 years, my internet didn't crash. It crashed 30 minutes before this call.
Oops.
it sounds as it's spelled, just Ziv.
Yeah, that's it. It's
Okay.
Israeli. It's Israeli. It's a bit of a weird name.
No, I it's a great name. Thank
Oh,
you.
thanks, man.
And thank you for all of your help.
Pleasure.
Okay,
But again,
so
don't feel obliged to hire us if you don't feel you need the handholding and the extra consulting and the due diligence that we do. I'm very happy to put you directly with an agent. They'll pay us a commission anyway if you get a sale with them. That don't feel obliged to hire us. If you're buying anything that's 20 years and older, though, it's probably not a bad idea to have somebody looking over your shoulder.
that was kind of the term that I was thinking in the back of my head. I mean, I would imagine that an agent that represents a foreign buyer, sure, will sell you a house. But
Legally
they
and by
don't.
the book, they're Japanese, they're very professional.
Yes, sir. That is one thing that I love about that country. Very different from living in the United States right now.
I've been hearing that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think that answers just about everything.
Awesome. So once you add me on WhatsApp, I'll also send you those referral links to the foreign exchange providers that we've discussed.
Okay.
I would
Yeah.
sign up with both of them using those links. So you get the bonuses, sign up with both of them. And then whenever you're talking about any amounts in yen, just pop in there and see who gives you the better rates for that amount, right? So if you're just transferring my fee, for example, which is for the consulting 110,000 yen, check which of them is cheaper for that. And then when it's time to transfer the 16 million yen or whatever it is to the agent, then log in there, check which, because that could save you. The most important thing is don't let your bank do a direct transfer and convert the dollars into yens, because they'll screw you by at least 3 to 5 yen to the dollar usually. And that can amount to like a few hundreds or thousands of dollars, depending on how big the transfer is. So sign up with both of those foreign exchange providers, and whenever you need to transfer funds overseas, just have a peek at which of them is offering the better rates at that moment.
Wow. Thank you very much. That was extremely
Pleasure.
helpful.
Pleasure. Hope to see you here in Tokyo. If you're coming to Yokohama, I don't think you mentioned ja when did you say you're coming here?
I leave on the 22nd and I get to Tokyo at around 3 p.m. on the 23rd
Of June.
of June, yesterday, this month.
Okay, I'm probably not going to be there, so I'll catch up with you on the next visit, I hope.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate everything. This was extremely helpful.
Pleasure, man. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye for
Bye.
now. Now, if you're actively looking at property in Japan, you should check out Akiya Mart. That's Akiya hyphen Mart, Mart, akiyamart.com. It's the Zillow of Japan, built for buyers who are actively hunting for a home in Japan and want a much more Western-style web browsing experience than the typical local Japanese websites. Now, we've got an exclusive 30% off promo code for the AkiyaMart Pro annual plan. That's the one that gives you full access to Airbnb zoning maps, hazard maps, sold data, and over 500,000 listings nationwide at any given time. So if you're serious about buying in Japan and you want an easier way to search, this is the best tool that we know of. So you can use my code ZIV, ZIV at checkout and get 30% off your AkiyaMart Pro annual plan at akiyamart.com. All right, so this next call is also with a first-time buyer. This one in the market for a 10, 11 million yen investment condo that she's specifically targeting Fukuoka City for. And she was wondering what the property profile and yield would look like for this kind of purchase, how we can help, not just for the purchase process itself, but also for management, post-settlement, and what fees are involved. We also talk a bit about what Japanese realtors normally can and cannot do for buyers, who researches the potential listings for the buyer, and whether it can all be done remotely. We talk a bit about the realtors that we normally work with here in Fukuoka City, and we also discuss the typical tenancy length in various types of properties. And the fair question that we don't get asked that often, what happens if we simply cannot find the right property for her? Legit question. We then discuss how income tax works in Japan, whether she should be purchasing under her own name or a corporate structure of some sort, how she might be able to open a local bank account, and finally about how we screen and do due diligence on property listings in general, and condos in particular, how the tenancy laws and the lease renewals work, and a whole bunch of other deep dive kind of info that she was interested in. So really good conversation, which I think will bring a lot of value to many of you who are considering investing here in Japan. Have a listen to this one as well, and I'll see you one last time on the other side.
Okay, so browsing through your email, you submit an inquiry for Canadian citizen, no ties to Japan, infrequent travel, everything else needs to be done remotely, no Japanese bank account, cash purchase. Okay, so far you've described everything that most of our clients are.
Right.
Budget is about 11 to 12 million yen, including closing costs, is it?
Yes.
Okay, so that gives us, let me just quickly run that on the calculator. Assuming purchase cost could be worst case scenario, about 15%. That gives us about 10.5 million yen-ish. Condo unit, Fukuoka City, long-term rental to Japanese tenants for monthly cash flow. Okay, so I mean, the fact that you're targeting Fukuoka City already satisfies your requirement below that, which is the moderate risk profile, stable tenancy, more important than yield. So that's exactly what Fukuoka City tends to provide. Just so we're on the same page with yield, in a good location in Fukuoka City and assuming a building that's not too old, because as they approach 40, monthly fees tend to go up a bit more rapidly, which reduces the yield and also makes them less attractive to future buyers. So within that profile, we're talking about something like best case scenario, maybe 5% net pre-tax. So including all of your purchase, all of your known purchase and running costs, but not including any unknowns and your individual tax situation. So
right.
Whatever your income tax will be, probably not going to be too high when if that's your only asset in Japan or your only income in Japan. Maintenance vacancy, I can say on average to about 10% of the income that you need to put aside. But that's a statistic that's not super relevant to a single property held over a short period of time. Because if you just bought it, a tenant could move out 3 months after you bought it, or they could stay in place for another 8 or 10 years. And that kind right. of throws the statistics off the cliff. So on average, I'd say put about 10% aside, but that's really just a statistical number. And you need us to handle, well, the entire purchase process, that's not an issue. Property management is also not an issue. And yes, we can also be your tax representative. And yes, we also, you've asked all the questions. We don't even need to record the call. You've asked everything in the email. And yes, we can also put you in touch with an accountant who will be filing your taxes for you. For an individual, I'm assuming you're purchasing under your own name. You don't need a company or anything of that sort, right? So correct. For an individual, they'll usually be a couple of $100 a year or so, the accountant.
Okay.
So nothing that will break the bank. We normally would be able to do everything for you, like single point of contact, no need to talk to anyone, and just give us the authority to act here on your behalf and then just make bottom line decisions. We're still a little bit swamped and struggling with hiring and training to provide that service. I think by the end of the year, we'll be able to, hopefully a bit sooner. Okay. But I've been saying that for a while, and then we recruited some people and trained them, and they ended up leaving, or we ended up, you know, letting them go because they weren't super suitable. So that deadline has been moving forward for about a year now. What I can do before then is I can put you in touch with a foreigner-friendly, English-speaking, bilingual realtor who'll be able to handle all of the logistics in English on your behalf, same as we would have done.
Okay.
Only issue, it's not really an issue, but the way they work here is they're not strategic. Like they don't
raise red flags, tell you what questions to ask, prioritize one listing over another. Their job is to work with listings that they research or listings that you provide to them and make sure you purchase it legally and you end up with the title deed. So they're not here to teach you how the market works or be super strategic. Like what we just spoke about, you know, make sure the property is under 30 or younger when you buy and resell it 40 or younger. They're not going to do any of that. Similarly, the building's due diligence info, you know, the state of their renovation history, do they have renovation plans, how much they've got collected in reserve funds, is that going to be enough for the next big renovation, how likely building fees are to go up. So they'll give you information if you ask them for the right information. They'll make sure that you have everything and it's fully documented, but they're not going to guide you in the due diligence process. It's not how Japanese realtors work. So I can either refer you to someone like that and just leave you with them and they'll help you with the legalities and the logistics of it. Or I can stay on and consult on the purchase, which is a lot cheaper than having us do everything for you. And then I'll guide them on due diligence. I'll review documents before you sign them. Just make sure you're not making any costly mistakes. So that's also a lot cheaper than having us do everything on your behalf.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure which one fits my situation the best. I am mindful of costs and things like that, but it sounds like I'll be doing a lot of work in both cases anyway, like in terms of researching and identifying an area that I want and things like that. So,
oh no, if we're doing everything on your behalf, then we'll be doing the research for you. So you don't have, I mean, if you have listings that you found and you want our feedback on it, then we're more than happy to receive them from you, but we'll be doing the research on your behalf. And if you're working directly with an agent, whether it's with or without our consulting, then the agent will be doing the research for you. So hands-on nature of working directly with an agent is more related to you having to fill in a few more documents, you having to attend the Zoom meeting in person with the lawyer if the lawyer asks for it, you having to actually physically sign the purchase contract and post it back to them, as opposed to us receiving a power of attorney and doing it all on your behalf. So you're going to be a little bit more hands-on, but the process is very similar otherwise. And it's all going to be done remotely. You don't need to be here at any point.
Okay, yeah, because that is my concern. I would love to come back, but it just requires a little bit more planning.
I mean, you're looking for a tenanted property, I'm assuming, that's generating income, like turnkey, with a tenant already in there. So even if you are here in person, you're not allowed to enter the property. So Japanese tenancy laws don't allow. So all you'll be able to do is walk around the building and nod your head a lot, kind of thing.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. So from that aspect, I mean, you will be a bit more hands-on, but the process is very similar, whether we're doing it all on your behalf or you're working directly with an agent, at least with the agent that we would recommend, that we've vetted and worked with before. So they're aware of what's involved in serving a non-resident foreigner client.
Okay. Yeah, that gives me more confidence knowing that the agent would be vetted, because that was going to be my next question. Do I find one of these people?
Absolutely. In Fukuoka, there's not as many agents here that are bilingual and foreigner friendly like there are in Tokyo. But we do have one that we've worked with for quite some time and another one that we've recently been introduced to. Acquaintances have worked with her and said she's great. Haven't worked with her yet, though, so I can't testify to how good she is. But based on a few meetings with her, I think she'll also be very good. And her English, I feel, is a little bit better than the other guy. But again, we haven't worked with her yet, so I can't really testify to that.
Yeah. Okay. No problem.
I mean, we can start with her, trial her out, and if we're not happy, then move on to the other guy.
Right. Yeah. I understand, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but I mean, both are very valid options. We kind of like to support women-owned businesses in Japan because they're finding it pretty hard especially real estate is a very male-dominated kind of industry here. So we're happy to give her a chance if you're okay being the guinea pig, at least at the beginning of the process. But if not, we can go directly to the guy we've been working with. That's fine as well.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay. Mm.
Do you
Yeah,
have any other questions? Like I mentioned, you wrote it all in the email very thoroughly. So.
I mean that's kind of how I work. I mean the questions I have to do with the terms of service and the fee document that was sent to me afterwards after I sent the questions.
That's for full purchase facilitation, which is what we're not able to do at the moment.
Oh, I see, I see.
The consulting route is, again, it's a lot cheaper. It's 110,000 yen, so about 1,000 Canadian, I think, at the moment. And that's because the reason that we can do it at any time and we don't need to wait until our staffing issues are finished is because that's just me. I don't need to involve any of our Japanese staffers. So that 110,000 yen gets you a 10-hour retainer that would normally suffice for me to handhold one single purchase. I've only, I mean, I don't write down every minute. I've only ever had one client that was just too picky and I had to charge them a second retainer, but that's one out of about 100 or more that I've consulted directly now over the last couple of years. So I doubt that'll be necessary. So usually those 10 hours will cover you for a single purchase, technically limited to inquiring on up to 20 listings and doing a deeper dive on 10 listings.
Yeah, I saw the
But
20 and
again,
10
we
rule.
haven't, yeah, but again, we haven't, I haven't really reached that limit with anyone except one client so far.
Okay, interesting.
And property management for, so post-settlement, the agent that will be helping you with the purchase could potentially serve you directly as a property manager because, again, they do speak English and they're used to working with non-resident foreigners. If the new lady that we started is not able to do that, then the other guy that I've mentioned can definitely do that. But if for any reason, at any point in time, you're not satisfied with their services, you can always loop us back in and then we'll put in place a more traditional Japanese property manager. But in that case, you'll need us managing the managers for you because the more traditional ones will not be able to work with you directly.
I noticed that layer, the property management and then you guys on top, which the for a total of 7.7, I think, 7.7%.
So they charge 5.5%. Normally, it's not legally mandated like purchase commissions, but normally most of them charge 5% plus tax, which is 5.5. We charge 2% plus tax on top of that, but we do have a minimum. And with the property budget that you're talking about, I think you'll be paying us the minimum, not the 2.2, which is a little bit higher. So our minimum is 1 hour of work per month, which is 4,400 yen. If
But
we come to that, hopefully the agent will be able to serve you directly, though you won't need the middleman. But if we do need to vet them out and put somebody else managing it in their place, then that's what it's going to be. And then they charge 1 or 2 months of rent placement fee when they place a new tenant. 1 month if it's easy enough to find. If it's a difficult time of the year or you're asking for higher rent than comparable units or for any re other reason, something's, the property's gone down in attractivity to tenants for whatever reason, then they might need to share the listing with other property managers, in which case they'll also need to get 1 month. So it's 1 or 2 months when they place a new tenant. And if we are involved, if we're doing the portfolio management on top of that, then we charge half a month when that happens.
Yes, I did read that.
Yen Loans are a sponsor of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. They're a non-bank lender offering financing to both residents and non-residents of Japan for purchases of condominiums, as well as equity release cash-out financing against properties that you already own in Japan, whether mortgaged or fully paid off. They cover all of Japan's major metro areas, Greater Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto, Kobe, Nagoya, Fukuoka, and Sapporo, offering a full nationwide footprint for all of your condo purchase financing needs. No residency, incorporation, or Japanese bank account is required, and the application process is highly streamlined. They have legitimate backers, highly reputable, and I can personally vouch for their founder, Mark Drapkin. Yen Loans welcome your business. Reach out to them at yenloans.com and let them know that you heard about them on the Japan Real Estate Podcast to receive 50,000 yen off your loan application fee.
And how from your perspective, how is tenant turnover in Fukuoka City?
Similar to most big cities in Japan, if it's a single or let's say young couple without child kind of sized unit, which is most of the, or at least the cash cows tend to be in that profile, I'd say the again, this is just statistical average, but on average about 4.5 years, so 4 to 5 years
Oh, okay.
for singles and young couples. If it's a family sized property, then they tend to stay in place longer, 7, 8 years. But those are usually because they're bigger, they tend to be lower on the yield. And also you've got more to renovate between tenants because you've got a larger floor plan. So, but I think
Right.
your budget in a big city like Fukuoka is not going to buy a family sized unit anyway. It's probably going to be a single or young couple sized.
Yeah, looking at apartments and stuff like that, it looks like the one bedroom kind of either like single professional or young couple. I would agree with that. Yeah.
When we say professional, not always, right? There could be an elderly pensioner or
Oh yeah.
a shift worker, entry level salaryman kind of situation. There's all kinds.
Right. And then so you mentioned that if I do everything through you, I have to sign over power of attorney, which makes sense to me, but I was curious
That's
if the power of
for the full purchase facilitation. If we're just doing the
yeah.
consulting handholding, then there's no need for that because you
Right.
give the agent authority when required to represent you.
Right, but in say we do go through the full comprehensive package thingy, is the power of attorney, is it time limited or like property specific, or are there any terms to that, or just does it kind of carry indefinitely?
It's specific to matters related to property purchase and management only, so we can't go and buy a yacht in your name or whatever.
Right.
It's up to you. The expiry date is up to you. If you don't want to go ahead and have to renew it every couple of years, then you can just leave the expiry date blank, in which
Okay.
case you'll need to notify us in by email or in writing whenever you want to terminate our authority, which is what most of our
Okay.
clients do. But if you prefer to put in an expiry date, then you'll just have to renew it when it expires.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Let's see.
And in any case, it's terminatable with 1 month notice.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, that's more related to the contract of services, not to the POA itself. The POA is terminatable whenever you tell us it's.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Then I had a question about the 2010 rule, but I think you already answered it. I was just curious what happens if you say the market is bad or you're really picky. What happens after the 20 listings or 10 offers? Is there an hourly rate or something that kicks in or?
If you're really picky, I'll give you some advance notice. So it's not going to be a case of
Okay.
me suddenly hitting you with another bill. I'm just going to let you know that, hey, if we carry on like this, it's going to take a lot longer than, firstly, it's going to take a lot longer than what you expected, because normally these purchases are done within a few months. But in your case, if you're super picky, it might take longer.
Yeah.
But how it works, so if it's full purchase facilitation, then yes, we will go beyond that with an hourly charge. If it's me doing the consulting, it's just a second retainer. So another 110,000 yen, and then we'll carry on.
Okay, what's the hourly rate if you're doing the full package?
If we go beyond, you mean the fixed price? Wow, we've never had that happen yet.
Okay.
Our hourly rate for management purposes is the same, 4,400 yen. In matters that would require myself or my partner, like executive level, to be involved, then it's 8,800 yen. But again, we've never gone down that path with any client. I doubt we'll get there with you.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious asking for information. And then I had another question about the tax threshold. I read a term about
But by the way, the market being really bad means that we're just not providing you with listings. It doesn't mean that we're digging into more listings. So it'll just take
Yeah.
more time to get suitable listings, but that's not going to count against that retainer or anything.
Yeah, fair. Okay. So yeah, to go to the tax threshold comment. Do you mind just explaining to me the 3-year limit thing? I didn't quite understand that. Like it
The
sounds like I don't have to
three.
pay Japanese income tax for 3 years.
Oh, so you as an individual purchasing a property in Japan, you can carry your purchase costs forward and claim them as losses for 3 years. If you were buying as a company, it would have been 5 or 6 years from memory. But as an individual, it's 3 years. So for the first 3 years, your accountant will work out. There's a couple of ways in which they can factor in depreciation and purchase costs and management costs. So they'll choose the most suitable way to carry those expenses forward for the entire 3 year period so that you'll be paying very little or no tax. But it depends on how much the property is making. So if we take, for example, 10 and a half, well, the total purchase we said was about, worst case, 12 million yen. Typically, we'd get up to 5% before tax on that. So that's 600,000 yen. The reporting threshold is 385,000 yen from memory. But that's before we factored in all of these purchase and management costs. So definitely for the first years, you'll be very close to zero tax, if not zero. And beyond those 3 years, you're going to be at the 5% on every yen beyond the 385. So even after the 3 years, if that's the only property you're going to have, it's going to be very low taxes.
Yeah, for at least it will be like this is my first way to break into the market, and so yeah, it will be my I anticipate the yield being very low for the first little bit.
Yeah, I mean, as your if and when your portfolio goes, let's say over the next decade, you decide to purchase more properties. When you get to the level where your total asset value is getting close to, let's say, half a million US or 600,000 700,000 US, then it might be a good idea to start talking to the accountant about potential corporate ownership so you can claim more stuff, carry losses forward more. And also, corporate taxes is capped, whereas individual income tax keeps going upwards a little bit further. So, beyond that point, it might make more sense to have the conversation. But before that, taxes in Japan are pretty low. Before that, individual ownership probably works best.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know if that behaves any differently? Because one of the biggest thorns in my side is the fact that I can't open a Japanese bank account to take in the rent money or
Yeah.
anything like that. So if a corporation buys the property instead, does that change the way I have to have a bank account or anything like that?
You don't have to. So we do have clients who own properties as foreign corporations that are not incorporated in Japan, and then it works exactly the same way. You could potentially, if you do have a company in Japan, you could potentially open a bank account, but to do that, you'd need to nominate a Japanese resident as your CEO, which adds another, I don't know, 200, 300 bucks a month to the corporate upkeep. And also corporate upkeep itself, I mean, setting up the company is a few thousand bucks, and accounting and bookkeeping goes from a few hundred bucks a year to a few thousand bucks a year as well. So again, it doesn't really make sense before you reach that threshold, the half a million US or one.
Okay, no problem. And I actually already do have an incorporated company over here.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe down the line I'll investigate using that as a means to purchase the thing. But anyway, I'll have to think about that.
You
That's
can, but
next year's
again,
problem.
the accountant will be charging something like 2,000 bucks a year as opposed to a few hundred bucks if they need to handle bookkeeping and accounting for a corporation.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. I'm just looking at the other questions I have here. But I think we've answered anything. So is there anything you'd like to talk about for the
Oh, no. We're just, we're, I'm
podcast
happy to record these calls because they bring value to people in similar situations. I think we usually have a lot more to-ing and fro-ing and discussion of
sake?
nuances when we actually look at listings. So then we'll start mentioning, I don't know, this one is a great unit yield-wise, but it's ground floor. So the street is viewable, the unit is viewable from the street. So single females might not like it. This one is third floor without an elevator, so elderly tenants might not like it. This one's a corner unit, it's nicer, but so there'll be a lot more conversation and strategizing when we actually look at individual listings. But the basics, I think we've probably covered, yeah.
I think so as well. Yeah, this was very helpful to me to sort of understand what my options are in terms of like the full comprehensive package where everything is done, or just like holding my hand through the process.
Yep, but both work, but the full comprehensive one is A, pricier, and B, not available for the next few months at least.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of think I want to buy now. I've been
Yeah, I
saying,
mean, look, the
yeah.
consulting I've been doing for the last couple of years since we started getting a little bit, it's really our growing pains that we haven't properly factored in advance. But due to that, I've been doing that the last couple of years. People seem to be pretty happy with it. I haven't had any complaints yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's just like so a little bit about my story. I decided last year I love Japan so much, I want to come buy property. And even if I'm not living in it myself, I want to have it so that, maybe I do come and take it one day. So I saved up for a year. I diverted some of my investments to grow particularly quickly so that I had this 100,000 Canadian dollar limit to work with. And I'm just really excited to have a place in the place that I love, even if I'm not getting to experience it myself right away.
Oh, and you can claim the trips here as business expenses. That's something too.
I didn't know
You're coming to check
that.
on your portfolio. What do you
Oh yeah, and I just happened to make a
mean?
stop in Hiroshima for like 3 days. It's fine.
Well, that you're looking at the future investment potentials. Just
Yep.
bear in mind that to use the property yourself, the laws here again are very tenant oriented. So if you don't want the leases are basically renewed automatically every 2 years. And we don't raise the rent much. I mean, we can try, but if the economy doesn't do super well and salaries don't go up, which has been the case for a long, long time, then the tenant will just move out. And if you want not to renew the lease, it's best to offer them compensation to the tune of something like 6 to 10 months of rent, which is what it costs them to move. Otherwise, they do have a legal leg to stand on if they complain about it, or not that, Japanese tenants would never take you to court. At least they haven't. We've never run across a case like that. But A, it's the right thing to do because it's very expensive for them to move in Japan, and B, to avoid any potential trouble, you want to wait until 6 months before the lease expires. Send them a letter, let them know that you'll be taking ownership of the property, and immediately offer them compensation for that so that they'll move out quietly.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting to know. I didn't know that. The time frame for landlords to do that here in Canada is a lot shorter, and they do not offer you compensation, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and they don't, I mean, they don't have a problem asking you to leave and not renewing the lease either. But here, potentially legally, again, hasn't happened to us, but potentially legally, they might have a legal leg to stand on if they
Yeah.
don't like it. So,
Okay.
but
Makes
I
sense.
mean, normally our clients in situations similar to yourself would wait for the property to be vacant and then take a 6 months holiday here, right? Kind of thing.
Yeah, that I feel like that's what I would just do. But good to know. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Well, I think I will take this information away and give it a little think, and then I will be back in touch when I have a better idea of what I want to do.
Sounds good. You can let when you want to move forward, just let Hannah, who replied to your emails, know, and she'll give you my WhatsApp number. Just add me on WhatsApp, and I'm a lot more responsive there than on emails.
Okay, perfect. And I'm a night owl, so I'll be messaging you midday almost every day.
I can't even keep track of each client and their time zone. The messages come in 24/7, and I reply to them whenever I can. So don't feel like you shouldn't be messaging me at night in Japan or at night your time. I'll see them when I see them.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
All right,
Talk
thank
to you
you for your
soon.
help today. All right,
Pleasure. Bye for now.
bye.
So there you have it. Two first-time buyers, two very different sets of goals, criteria, and questions, which I hope shed some light on the type of things that we look at when we help people purchase here and what you might want to be paying attention to if you're doing this on your own. Now, we can't let you go without telling you about MailMate, our sponsors and business partners. They offer peace of mind for your property in Japan. They'll make sure that your taxes, your utility bills are all paid on time, liaise with your management company for you, or assist with your parcel delivery while you're out of town. Get in touch with them on mailmate.jp today and mention the Japan Real Estate Podcast for 10% off your first year. And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening, and we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. よろしく。